He kept his eyes fixed on the instruments, gliding by instinct, fighting for altitude. The sound of their passage diminished. The thopter began rolling off to the left. Paul focused on the glowing globe within the attitude curve, fought his aircraft back to level flight. Jessica had the eerie feeling that they were standing still, that all motion was external. A vague tan flowing against the windows, a rumbling hiss, reminded her of the powers around them. "Winds to 700 or 800 kilometers an hour," she thought. Adrenaline edginess gnawed at her. "I must not fear," she told herself, mouthing the words of the Bene Gesserit litany. "Fear is the mind-killer." Slowly, her long years of training prevailed. Calmness returned. "We have the tiger by the tail," Paul whispered. "We can't go down, can't land, and I don't think I can lift us out of this. We'll have to ride it out." Calmness drained out of her. Jessica felt her teeth chattering, clamped them together. Then she heard Paul's voice, low and controlled, reciting the litany. "Fear is the mind-killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past me, I will turn to see fear's path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain." What Do You Despise? By This Are You Truly Known? From Manual of Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. "They are dead, Baron," said Yakin Nafud, the guard captain. "Both the woman and the boy are certainly dead." The Baron Vladimir Harkonnen sat up in the sleep suspensors of his private quarters. Beyond these quarters and enclosing him like a multi-shelled egg stretched the space frigate he had grounded on Arrakis. Here in his quarters, though, the ship's harsh metal was disguised with draperies, with fabric paddings and rare art objects. "It is a certainty," the guard captain said. "They are dead." The Baron shifted his gross body in the suspensors, focused his attention on an ebony statue of a leaping boy in a niche across the room. Sleep faded from him. He straightened the padded suspensor beneath the fat folds of his neck, stared across the single glow globe of his bedchamber to the doorway, where Captain Nafud stood blocked by the pentashield. "They're certainly dead, Baron," the man repeated. The Baron noted the trace of Samuda dullness in Nafud's eyes. It was obvious the man had been deep within the drug's rapture when he received this report, and had stopped only to take the antidote before rushing here. "I have a full report," Nafud said.
"Let him sweat a little," the Baron thought. "One must always keep the tools of statecraft sharp and ready. Power and fear, sharp and ready." "Have you seen their bodies?" the Baron rumbled.
Nafud hesitated.
"Well?"
"My lord, they were seen to dive into a sandstorm. Winds over 800 kilometers. Nothing survives such a storm, my lord. Nothing. One of our own craft was destroyed in the pursuit."
The Baron stared at Nafud, noting the nervous twitch in the scissors line of the man's jaw muscles, the way the chin moved as Nafud swallowed.
"You have seen the bodies?" the Baron asked.
"My lord, for what purpose do you come here rattling your armor?" the Baron roared. "To tell me a thing is certain when it is not? Do you think I'll praise you for such stupidity, give you another promotion?"
Nafud's face went bone pale.
"Look at the chicken," the Baron thought. "I am surrounded by such useless clods. If I scattered sand before this creature and told him it was grain, he'd peck at it." "The man Idaho led us to them, then?" the Baron asked.
"Yes, my lord."
"Look how he blurts out his answer," the Baron thought. He said, "They were attempting to flee to the Fremen, eh?"
"Yes, my lord."
"Is there more to this report?"
"The Imperial Planetologist, Kynes, is involved, my lord. Idaho joined this Kynes under mysterious circumstances. I might even say suspicious circumstances."
"So?"
They fled together to a place in the desert where it's apparent the boy and his mother were hiding. In the excitement of the chase, several of our groups were caught in a laser gun shield explosion."
"How many did we lose?"
I'm not sure yet, my lord."
"He's lying," the Baron thought. "It must have been pretty bad." "The Imperial lackey, this Kynes," the Baron said. "He was playing a double game, eh?"
"I'd stake my reputation on it, my lord."
"His reputation." "Have the man killed," the Baron said.
"My lord, Kynes is the Imperial Planetologist. His Majesty's own servant. Make it look like an accident, then.
My lord, there were Sardaukar with our forces in the subjugation of this Fremen nest. They have Kynes in custody now.
Get him away from them. Say I wish to question him.
If they demur?
They will not, if you handle it correctly.
Nefud swallowed.
Yes, my lord.
The man must die, the Baron rumbled. He tried to help my enemies.
Nefud shifted from one foot to the other.
Well?
My lord, the Sardaukar have 2 persons in custody who might be of interest to you. They've caught the Duke's master of assassins.
Howitt? Thufir Howitt?
I've seen the captive myself, my lord. 'Tis Howitt.
I'd not have believed it possible.
They say he was knocked out by a stunner, my lord, in the desert where he couldn't use his shield. He's virtually unharmed. If we can get our hands on him, he'll provide great sport.
This is a mentat you speak of, the Baron growled. One doesn't waste a mentat. Has he spoken? What does he say of his defeat? Could he know the extent of... But no.
He has spoken only enough, my lord, to reveal his belief that the Lady Jessica was his betrayer.
Ah!
The Baron sank back, thinking. Then,
you're sure it's the Lady Jessica who attracts his anger?
He said it in my presence, my lord.
Let him think she's alive, then.
But, my lord,
be quiet. I wish Howitt treated kindly. He must be told nothing of the late Dr. Yui, his true betrayer. Let it be said that Dr. Yui died defending his duke. In a way, this may even be true. We will, instead, feed his suspicions against the Lady Jessica.
My lord, I don't...
The way to control and direct a mentat, Nefud, is through his information. False information, false results.
Yes, my lord, but...
Is Howitt hungry? Thirsty?
My lord, Howitt's still in the hands of the Sardaukar.
Yes, indeed, yes. But the Sardaukar will be as anxious to get information from Howitt as I am. I've noticed a thing about our allies, Nefud. They're not very devious, politically. I do believe this is a deliberate thing. The Emperor wants it that way. Yes, I do believe it. You will remind the Sardaukar commander of my renown at obtaining information from reluctant subjects.
Nefud looked unhappy.
Yes, my lord.
You will tell the Sardaukar commander that I wish to question both Howitt and this Kynes at the same time, playing one off against the other. He can understand that much, I think.
Yes, my lord.
And once we have them in our hands...
The Baron nodded.
My lord, the Sardaukar will want an observer with you during any... questioning.
I'm sure we can produce an emergency to draw off any unwanted observers, Nefud.
I understand, my lord. That's when Kynes can have his accident.
Both Kynes and Howitt will have accidents then, Nefud. But only Kynes will have a real accident. It's Howitt I want. Yes. Ah, yes.
Nefud blinked, swallowed. He appeared about to ask a question, but remained silent.
Howitt will be given both food and drink, the Baron said. Treated with kindness, with sympathy. In his water, you will administer the residual poison developed by the late Peter DeVries. And you will see that the antidote becomes a regular part of Howitt's diet from this point on. Unless I say otherwise.
The antidote, yes.
Nefud shook his head.
But don't be dense, Nefud. The Duke almost killed me with that poison capsule tooth. The gas he exhaled into my presence deprived me of my most valuable mentat, Peter. I need a replacement.
Howitt?
Howitt. But you're going to say Howitt's completely loyal to the Atreides. True, but the Atreides are dead. We will woo him. He must be convinced he's not to blame for the Duke's demise. It was all the doing of that Bene Gesserit witch. He had an inferior master, one whose reason was clouded by emotion. Mentats admire the ability to calculate without emotion, Nefud. We will woo the formidable Thufir Howitt.
Woo him? Yes, my lord.
Howitt, unfortunately, had a master whose resources were poor, one who could not elevate a mentat to the sublime peaks of reasoning that are a mentat's right. Howitt will see a certain element of truth in this. The Duke couldn't afford the most efficient spies to provide his mentat with the required information.
The Baron stared at Nefud.
Let us never deceive ourselves, Nefud. The truth is a powerful weapon.
We know how we overwhelmed the Atreides. How it knows, too. We did it with wealth.
With wealth, yes, my lord.
We will woo Howitt, the Baron said. We will hide him from the Sardaukar, and we will hold in reserve the withdrawal of the antidote for the poison. There's no way of removing the residual poison. And, Nefud, Howitt need never suspect. The antidote will not betray itself to a poison snooper. Howitt can scan his food as he pleases and detect no trace of poison.
Nefud's eyes opened wide with understanding.
The absence of a thing, the Baron said. This can be as deadly as the presence. The absence of air, eh? The absence of water. The absence of anything else we're addicted to.
The Baron nodded.
You understand me, Nefud?
Nefud swallowed.
Yes, my lord.
Then get busy. Find the Sardaukar commander and set things in motion.
At once, my lord.
Nefud bowed, turned, and hurried away.
Howitt by my side, the Baron thought. The Sardaukar will give him to me. If they suspect anything at all, it's that I wish to destroy the Mentat. And this suspicion I'll confirm. The fools! One of the most formidable Mentats in all history. A Mentat trained to kill. And they'll toss him to me like some silly toy to be broken. I will show them what use can be made of such a toy.
The Baron reached beneath a drapery beside his suspensor bed, pressed a button to summon his older nephew, Raban. He sat back, smiling.
And all the Atreides dead.
The stupid guard captain had been right, of course. Certainly, nothing survived in the path of a sandblast storm on Arrakis. Not an ornithopter, or its occupants. The woman and the boy were dead. The bribes in the right places, the unthinkable expenditure to bring overwhelming military force down onto one planet, all the sly reports tailored for the Emperor's ears alone, all the careful scheming were here at last coming to full fruition.
Power and fear, fear and power.
The Baron could see the path ahead of him. One day, a Harkonnen would be Emperor. Not himself, and no spawn of his loins, but a Harkonnen. Not this Raban he'd summoned, of course, but Raban's younger brother, young Fade Rotha. There was a sharpness to the boy that the Baron enjoyed. A ferocity.
A lovely boy, the Baron thought. A year or two more, say by the time he's 17, I'll know for certain whether he's the tool that House Harkonnen requires to gain the throne. My Lord Baron!
The man who stood outside the doorfield of the Baron's bedchamber was low-built, gross of face and body, with the Harkonnen paternal line's narrow-set eyes and bulge of shoulders. There was yet some rigidity in his fat, but it was obvious to the eye that he'd come one day to the portable suspensors for carrying his excess weight.
A muscle-minded tank brain, the Baron thought. No Mentat, my nephew. Not a Piter de Vries, but perhaps something more precisely devised for the task at hand. If I give him freedom to do it, he'll grind over everything in his path. Oh, how he'll be hated here on Arrakis. My dear Raban, the Baron said.
He released the doorfield, but pointedly kept his body shield at full strength, knowing that the shimmer of it would be visible above the bedside glow-globe.
You summoned me, Raban said.
He stepped into the room, flicked a glance past the air disturbance of the body shield, searched for a suspensor chair, found none.
Stand closer where I can see you easily, the Baron said.
Raban advanced another step, thinking that the damnable old man had deliberately removed all chairs, forcing a visitor to stand.
The Atreides are dead, the Baron said. The last of them. That's why I summoned you here to Arrakis. This planet is again yours.
Raban blinked.
But I thought you were going to advance Piter de Vries to the... Piter, too, is dead.
Piter?